I have my little clock here. Whoops. Did that cover me? There we go. So I have plenty of time to give a message. It's so nice to see everybody. And welcome to our guest. We do have a guest here, I see. It's great to have you here. I'd like to make an announcement that there's some books by the information table for kids. So if any of you have kids and you like some kid books for reading and learning, you could feel free to pick up one or two or whatever. I'm going to move this thing out of the way because I've got the lapel mic. And when Fred Adia, Mr. Fred Adia comes back, you know the feast is over. I think I was still reading reports into this week that he was still over there. Glad he was able to do that and give his presentation. Most of us have had a wonderful and a safe feast. And generally, we look at this time, the weeks, the months ahead, as a spiritual wilderness with a plethora of this world's holidays and a multitude of diversions. So many things to attract our attention or distract our attention. I'd like to give a brief story about a friend of mine last year. My friend and I had, he was not a member, but I had worked with him many years ago, and he died the day before Veterans Day. And we had a discussion roughly a week before he died in a terrible auto accident that took him and his wife. And we had been discussing misconceptions concerning obedience being legalism. We discussed moral boundaries being shifted in this nation. And I think he understood that we had to obey God, though he often would say we need a relationship with God, with Christ. And he didn't recognize that that relationship depended on our obedience, our proper obedience, our repentance, and that our sins were covered by our Savior, Jesus Christ. The world wants faith. But they want faith alone without godly standards of obedience. This man listened to me carefully for roughly 15 minutes, and I think it was 15 minutes. I said, "Are you still there?" He said, "I'm listening." The day after Veterans Day, I realized that he had died in an accident, and it about broke my heart. But you know, this man will be in a resurrection someday, and I believe he will accept what you and I have come to understand, what God has given us opportunity to understand. We have to ask ourselves, do our examples and words lead to God? Or did they lead people astray? Do we always remember our calling in this age of moral decline? Our nations, and I use plural, it's not just the United States, it's other nations too. They have become dull of hearing, as it says, and I'm not going to turn there, in Hebrews 5:11. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. I am amazed at the drift over the past 10, 20 years in this nation. It's not the same place I was when I was a kid. Yes, we had our problems, but more and more the problems are getting deeper and deeper entrenched in society. When you talk to people, how often, or you could just go on Facebook And look at how often they talk about fun and frivolity. Fun, 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 and nothing serious. And they forget something. They forget what it says in Matthew 25:7-8. I'm not going to turn there. Read this in my notes. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. The lights are going out in this nation. The lights can go out of this church if we're not careful, as we have already heard. Most in this age don't think they have to dig deeper into the scriptures. An old friend of mine from many years ago, who was a member of the church, said something to this effect. I don't have to read the Bible. I already know that stuff. I thought about that this morning. It's like saying, I ate food yesterday. I don't need any today. That's craziness. You may be able to skip 2 to 3 days, but you can't go much further without food or water. We need, as a nation, spiritual food. We need to remember various things. Consider what it says in John 17:15-19. John 17:15-19. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, says Jesus Christ. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them. The early church and many other Christians since those days has been sent out into the world. When we meet people, when we talk to people, we are representatives of Jesus Christ. In the weeks and months ahead, we ought to remember the lessons we've been learning over a lifetime, and especially over the past few weeks. Remember the lessons of the Bible. Today we will discuss 3 things to remember. Remember the book. Remember from where you came. Remember your calling and your baptism covenant. The title of the message is Remember. Now don't forget that. It's remember. First, remember the book. Anciently, the books of the law were forgotten, even as we as a nation have forgotten so much of it in this age. I'm going to read this from my notes, but it comes from 2 Kings 22:8. 2 Kings 22:8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And in verse 11, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Why did he do that? He recognized that Israel was not living up to its covenant. He remembered there were things that he needed to do as a king. At the feast, Mr. Charles Malier from Northern Colorado, he emphasized that God communicates to us through the words and the lessons of the Bible. In Luke 24:8, and they remembered his words. And in verse 9, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11. There's that word, remember again. That's just a side note. But because there's so much, if you look in the scriptures, look up the word remember and see how often it is presented. The word remember is in the Bible, depending on the version, 112 to over 160 times in the Bible. So is it important to remember? Absolutely. Secondly, remember from where you came. How many of us remember from where we came? Do we remember the glory, the glamour, the glimmer of our past? And do we remember all of these things about the upcoming seasons that we have coming our way and that we've already gone through some? All the frivolity and the laughter and the giggling, which was all counterproductive to what God would have us to do. Do we remember those things? Ancient Israel at one point looked back to the time of their captivity as a period of fun times, forgetting what it was really like. Let's turn to Numbers 11, 5 to 6. Numbers 11. Numbers 11, 5 to 6. Actually, let's start in verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna." Can you imagine that? I once gave a message a number of years ago, shortly after 95, and it pertained to this. And I actually brought samples of leeks and garlics, and then I placed them underneath the lectern. And the song leader had to come back after the sermonette, and he says, "Joe, your garlic is making me cry." Anyway, that was just a little side note. It's good to remember some of these stories to see where we came from. Also, let's turn to Exodus 16:3. Exodus 16:3. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." You know, they got a little hungry, and yet they forgot what it was like out there on the mean streets of Egypt. The whippings, the beatings, the cutting of rations, the cutting of proper building materials. They forgot about those things. How often do we forget? They surely had a distorted sense of perception and surely forgot from where they came. How many people do you know? I know many. How many do you know, even today, who have fallen by the wayside? Even as nations, we could read in the newspapers stuff that we had never read before. The times are scary. We as nations are plunging into depravity, war, and ultimately possible captivity. Before our calling, something was also wrong in our lives. Something was missing. It most certainly was in my life. We came to recognize we fell short of the glory of God. That's what repentance is all about. It's not just a single time period and then we forget from where we came and from where we were long ago. After baptism, and I may fit this very sentence that I'm saying, talking about, did we expect no trials or problems? Soon after baptism, I had serious back trouble, serious asthma. One man thought he didn't think I'd live 3 years. And that was in 69. I think God had a lot of cleaning up to do in me. I don't know about you, but he wasn't finished with me yet. Did we expect heaven on earth? Did we expect everything to go in our way? I had some wonderful, wonderful managers when I first started in the church. One of my managers died in an auto accident. And it was downhill from there on for about 7 to 8 years. And it truly tried my spirit. It was a difficult time in my life. It was a difficult time until I got on my knees and I prayed to God and I asked God, help see me through this trial. And God did. And I straightened out my thoughts about the way things were going. And ironically, within 3 months, without a word being said, one of the managers started treating me well. A year later, he gave me another review. It was the best review he gave me in 7 years. Several months later, he left, and I had another boss, and they got better and better. The trial was over. Temporarily, we always have trials. We know that. We sometimes want perfect things to run around in our lives. We want to have everything come our way. If everything came our way, would we learn anything? Would we learn compassion? Would we learn patience? The answer is no, we would not. We don't have trial-free existence. But we are told elsewhere in Scripture that with the trials, with the difficulties, with the burdens, God will help us and lighten our load and make it easier. But we have a responsibility to heed wisdom, to read scriptures. It does say this in James 4:3. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. I like that thing from Fiddler on the Roof, where he's singing and he says, please God, I just want a small fortune. Would we be satisfied with a small fortune? Well, probably not. So we don't always get exactly everything we want at the moment we want. There's the trying of your patience leads to development of character. Elsewhere we're told in Scripture, let me turn to 2 Corinthians 11:20. 2 Corinthians 11, 20. Second Corinthians 11:20. For you bear with a man if he brings you into bondage, if he devours you, if he takes you captive, if he exalts himself, if he smites you on the face. We have not always been treated well by everybody, but how do we react? How did Jesus Christ react when he was suffering, when he was taking the beatings, when he was crucified on the cross? He cried out to the Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." It doesn't mean you have to walk around allowing people to abuse you. There's times to leave, times to shift away. But we are to be patient with one another. In the days, weeks, and months ahead, we may not be troubled by doctrinal issues, but we may most certainly be troubled by personality issues, differences of opinion, that really, when you think about it, in the scheme of things, mean absolutely nothing. What is my favorite color? You don't like my favorite color? I like red cars. Is that something to argue about? No. Unless you have a fire truck and your color is bigger and brighter than mine. But no, we don't argue about those things. Sometimes people are prompted by miracles in their life. If I had not suffered back pain and asthmatic issues, I doubt if I would have compassion for anybody. But when we go through difficulties and trials and struggles, we learn compassion, we learn patience. Miracles, of and by themselves, do not lead to conversion. I knew a man many years ago. He was in the military, and he was on a high tower, something like a high tower, and there was a wind that blew, and the tower bent, and he fell. He told me it was like a hand moved him back up and allowed himself to reattach himself to the tower. If that miracle had not taken place, he would have been either killed or permanently maimed. Interestingly, roughly 20 to 25 years after that happened, he turned his back on God's church. How many times do you hear about this? I've known of people that have gone through Vietnam and they escaped unscathed, only to have another problem later and then eventually leave the church. How many people did Jesus Christ heal? How many did he feed? And how many stayed with him when he was at the cross? Not that many. Very few. But there were people that were called. God used people. He used them to get a message out. Each of us needs to guard our minds. Let's turn to Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Without the power of God working in you, as society sinks and drifts, you cannot hold on to a sense of responsibility, a sense of sanity in a world going insane. It just will not happen. How many are concerned about the cares of this world so intently that they get drugged back into it? Let's turn to Mark 4:19. I need my old dog-eared Bible. This one is harder to turn the pages. Mark 4:19. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We could get so embroiled in the acquisition of money, electronics, all kinds of stuff. Wouldn't you like to have one of those jewels that was in that crown earlier? I'm not sure what the value would be, but it's almost invaluable. I don't think you could take it to a pawn shop and get the right amount of money for that. It just would not work. I think you might have somebody looking over your shoulder. And you'd probably be lucky if you're saying, look what I have. He'd probably be very lucky if he even made it to the pawn shop. So we see the cares of the world, if we're not careful, can derail our path. It could knock us off track. In a time of upheaval and struggle in 1995, it was a period of time in my mind that lasted close to a year. And I often drove, and especially in the early days, I drove to work and from work, and I'm just shaking my head. I'm thinking, the upheaval in the church just stressed me out so bad. But I remember saying to myself, I cannot return from where I came. I knew from where I came. I knew the idolatry that I had in my mind and my heart. I knew that I drank too much. I knew I had distortions about theology. And I thought, I cannot go back to that. The third item is remember your calling and baptism, your baptism covenant. First, I would like to say to those not baptized, recognize this very important key. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot. The struggles of life are a horrid blend of human nature, which is a blend of good and evil. We cannot sift through that. We don't have that capability unless God gives us the opportunity and gives of His Holy Spirit to help us sift it out. And now the responsibility is very great for the unbaptized, but it's even greater for those who have accepted that baptism covenant. Do we remember? Do we remember what led up to our baptism? In 1968, I was at one of the biggest churches in Phoenix. 15,000 people. They had an altar call. And a friend said, go up, I'll go with you. The thought came to my mind, I can't go up because he goes up. I have to go up because I am absolutely convinced that this is the right thing to do. So I did not go. It was not the right time. And then I found out when I walked into a Bible study and I saw an image of what people claim was a picture of Christ. And I had just come out of an organization that believed in these images, images of saints and the Holy Family and all that stuff. I was stunned. I didn't think these people did that. I could not continue at that church any longer. By the end of the year, I had my first challenge on the Sabbath day. They swapped out, at that time Christmas fell on a Wednesday, and we had Christmas and Christmas Eve off. General Electric was really nice, and they said, well, let's give them Monday off. And we'll just swap it with Saturday. I was terrified that I'd have to walk up to my boss and say, I cannot come in on Saturday. He said to me, why? I said, well, it's the Sabbath. He says, oh, you're going to profane Sunday? I don't know why it came out, but it came out like this. But Jack, General Electric pays double times so you could go to work on Sunday. He just looked at me, shook his head, and says, do what you got to do. And he never bothered me about the Sabbath again. At that time, later, I ended up getting paid double time because whenever we had to work Saturday and I worked on Sunday, otherwise, I'd get time and a half. But it was an interesting time period. But it scared the wits out of me. And God has provided ever since. God will provide, but you have to be willing to take that stand. I remember, I thought, if I lose my job, what will I do? Well, I guess I'll just crawl off in a corner and die of starvation. I'm still here. We are all still here. Remember, God is merciful and provides help when we seek Him. Don't seek our own opinions. Each of us, young and old, we're to seek wise counsel and good advice. We need to ask ourselves, are we good role models and examples to others, or do we cause others to stumble? There's sometimes so many of us, and I know I've caused others to stumble too. Each one of us may cause somebody to stumble. Each one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. When I was first coming into the church, this one of the neighbor ladies, she was religious, and I was questioning about church and sin and all that. And I asked her, I said, "Have you ever sinned?" She said, "No, I've never sinned." I'm thinking, something's not right here. Think about what we do. I'm going to read this out of my notes from John 15. John 15, verse 2. First of all, we need, as individuals, to bear fruit. John 15, 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And in verse 4, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." We live in the things that Christ would have us to do, what God the Father would have us to do. Then we could skip down to verse 16. "You did not choose me." How many times do you hear people say, "I chose God. I chose this. I decided to go that way." When I was a little boy, about 8 years old, something happened in my life. And I remember telling myself, "Wow, I'm special to God." But you know, I did not fully grasp it for over 20 more years. And that was about the time I was finally baptized in 1969. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." We think we ask God the Father for something, or we ask Jesus Christ, and that we're automatically owed. No, the answer is sometimes wait. Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes it's no, but most often it's wait. Be patient. We as individuals cannot do what we did 5, 10, 20 years ago or more and expect a free pass. We need to remember, we must remember, to stand fast in time of adversity and spiritual struggle. In Exodus 14:13, it says this, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more.'" Israel forgot those words, but this sense is echoed throughout Scripture, throughout the concept of remembrance. In conclusion, I know we would all like to have a pain-free walk in the park. Yet how many would like to do that and not want to change bad habits? That can't be so. When you need the help, God, through a still small voice, may have something for you. May through a person who may say, as somebody told me, several people have told me through my youth, "Don't do that. You're going to get yourself in trouble." Or, "That's not funny." And it most certainly wasn't. And as a kid, I didn't realize how bad some of the things were that I saw in New York City. They were ugly. No matter who we are, young or old, we need to seek help. We need to seek wise counsel. It's never too late. I'm going to leave you with a quote and a scripture. And the quote is from a woman by the name of Diane Green. And she said this, "It's better to walk alone than with a crowd going in the wrong direction." This age is going in the wrong direction. It is going downward fast. Read of the events that took place before World War I and World War II. Where are we in history at this point? These are dangerous times, and you could be snared. We could be snared. I could be snared. Luke 21, 34 to 36. Luke 21, 34 to 36. "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Remember the lessons of the feast, especially remember the words in the book that sits on your lap, whether it's a book or whether it's a Kindle or whatever it is. Remember those words. Inculcate those words into your mind, into your heart. Choose life, choose right character, and to all of us, be committed to the calling that you made or the agreement that you made at that baptism covenant. Let us learn and remember our lessons well.